about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. It's the problem in the marriage bed that no one likes to talk about. Maybe that's why they call it silent but deadly. Well, now there's a real solution to a very real problem.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, listen, partner. We don't have a flu season. We've got a duck season, a deer season. But we don't have a flu season. And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of flu. And we receive it and we take it. Inoculate yourself with the word of God. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
And now.
I don't believe you're seriously considering listening to these men.
Our feature presentation.
I'd like to just check in with her and see how she's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed very, very healthy.
Sure.
Very vibrant. Alive.
Check
and well.
In maybe once a month, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, guys, we don't need a flu shot. We have Jesus.
Right? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 12th of February.
So, hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Kevin.
What's going on?
Hey, let me answer.
Oh.
Hey,
how was your Olympics experience? Were you as you were as a boy? Were you as a man sitting on the couch just begging anyone to watch the sports with you?
I mean, did I watch it by myself? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, still?
Yeah.
How much Olympics did you see?
No, but my daughter would watch some with me.
Yeah. Because
she felt bad for me.
Right.
But on and off all weekend.
Yeah. What was your favorite?
Really curling. I mean, I can't get past it.
Really? Still? Huh?
You've really taken a whole turn with curling.
Well, there was a point, and I've never seen this before, where they had a confrontation about what happened. Wait a minute. What happened to this? They call them rocks or stones or whatever. And basically, they just talk with each other about it. And then the guy turns to the crowd and goes, was it out or in? He's asking the crowd. Yes.
Don't they have instant replay in curling?
No.
Oh. Are there referees?
They have it, and they have referees, but they try not to interrupt. So, honestly, the people that are playing the game work it out.
Well, we talked about that a little bit last week, about a guy who basically showed himself the door because he had made an error on the ice, and the ref did not get involved at all. It was a self-policing move.
But if they have referees, at the point where all four competitors are saying, we don't know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then the guy turns to the crowd and says, does anyone know? Is it out? Was it in? Speak up.
I mean, like
any other sport in the world, if you did that, it would just be absurd.
Yeah.
At the blistering pace at which that sport moves, though,
it's
easy to see how you could not catch all the action. You know what I mean? Like, how could you tell when something's going that fast on a line, in or out?
This is just, I mean, to me, it's a car wreck. But and a spectacular one.
Right.
How are we doing in curling? How are the Americans? Well, the siblings, are they good?
I don't know.
The Hamilton stuff?
Not watching that closely.
Attention to that.
did you see Spicoli win his gold in the snowboarding?
I did.
That kid?
Loved him.
He is Spicoli,
loved,
right?
Yep.
I was just surprised to be here, man. I never thought I'd make the team.
Is he the one that dropped a couple F-bombs live on NBC?
I think he is. Red Gerard?
Yes.
17 years old, by the way.
Yeah, I love that.
I saw him in a press conference setting, and he was talking about heading to the mountain, and his parents were sending him videos of them doing shots, getting ready for it. I was like, this is my family. I like them.
And it's funny because I was watching him at the medal ceremony, and I thought, he's the new Shaun White. And then I thought, that's not good news for Shaun White, who's also competing in these Olympics, because Shaun White is Shaun White, right?
Yeah.
But he's so funny, that
kid.
He really is. All right, well, I have two wardrobe malfunction stories to get us started that both involve the Olympics. Kevin, tell me if you saw either one of these. Are you watching any of the figure skating at all? That's all that's on at my house, apparently, is figure skating. It seems like that's the bulk of the time that they're given prime time, NBC.
I feel like I keep seeing sports that I'm going to watch, and then I watch it for about 4 minutes, and then I go, this isn't as good as I thought.
Yeah.
Really?
Move on to another network and watch something else.
The figure skating, I don't understand. There's what I've been watching is competitive figure skating, couples or solo, but there's something, there's dance parts too. There's a short dance and a long ice dancing competition. I don't know anything about that. Do you?
Not much.
Well, there was a wardrobe malfunction, though. Yura Min, who skates for South Korea, 5 seconds into her routine, the hook that kept the back of her outfit together came undone.
Oh, no.
So now, she's 5 seconds in. She can't stop. She can't, you know, hey, give me a minute to, you know, to recombobulate.
Use what you've got, right?
She's got to go forward. By the way, she is was born in California, has dual American and South Korean citizenship. So she's skating for South
Korea. That's the other thing that I noticed is most of the athletes from most of the countries were born in the United States.
It does seem like that. It seems like there's a lot of that.
Maybe your mom or a distant relative was from South Africa, so now you skate for them.
Right.
It's odd.
So what does she do now? She's like, oh, no, if this comes undone, the whole thing could just pop off. I was so terrified the entire program. So she kept skating and just was using her arm to keep her top back in place, which is, I mean, you think about how precise to the second every motion you make out there on the ice is and how intricate the details are of a skating program. How do you go through with that and also be concentrating on trying to keep your top from coming down? But what choice do you have? I mean, she could have just ignored the top and let it fall where it may,
right?
And concentrate on the routine.
That's what should have happened.
Well, I don't know. But I feel like she's shooting herself in the foot by spending too much time worrying about the wardrobe malfunction. You know what I mean? Especially, as I say, as synchronized and as detailed as the motion is.
Let them loose.
It ended up not falling off, by the way, but I'm sure that it had to have impacted her ability to skate
100%.
As clean as she would like.
I'm surprised that she can't just stop for a second and the judges will say, all right, we see what happens. Let's take a break.
I don't think you can once the clock starts.
That's absurd, though.
Yeah.
I mean, in this case especially.
Yeah.
Now, nowhere in this article, but by the way, does it say how she did? I don't know if she ended up overcoming and you know, winning a medal or doing well or whatever, but you don't want that. That's the last thing you want.
Her
right?
Tinder was on fire.
And thing two is this Olympic loser. Did you see him? He is from Poland. I will not attempt to pronounce his name. But he realized right as the green light went off and it was time for him to slide, you know, head down the hill on his luge, that he had somehow lost the visor that goes over his eyes.
Ooh.
Oh.
He had the helmet on, but the visor had snapped off or disconnected or had not been put in place or something like that. And again, light went on. Too late. Gotta go. I didn't realize until the moment that the green start light lit up, what could I do? I just took off without the visor. I traversed the whole track nearly blind, but on the whole, it worked out. You have to cut him some slack. He came in 31st in that run, by the way, after posting 29th and 19th fastest times in his first two terms. You know what that would be like? It would be like driving down the road at 80 miles an hour with your head out the window.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And tried to see.
Impossible.
I can't even imagine what that was like. So they talked to the American who won who did win an Olympic medal in the singles luge, by the way, and he said, yeah, you want your face shield on, especially when it's this cold. Not only does it help aerodynamics, but it quiets the sound, especially with those crazy conditions. I can't believe he made it down. I can't believe he did that. It must have been the most terrifying realization to be like, okay, let's go. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So it's just funny that both of those things happen. But, I mean, look, it's real life and people make mistakes and unforeseen circumstances. And you just got to press on.
I did notice that NBC was using what I can only call a crotch cam during
during
the races. So that's fun to see.
Yeah.
Why's it got to be right there?
It was a shot right between the ankles.
Yes.
Right up at the face and right in between was the crotch shot.
Yeah.
For every single one.
Sure was.
I mean, I guess the camera has to be in the, what do they call the thing that they luge in?
Don't
they
know.
Call their canoe or their whatever
it's a canoe.
I think it's a canoe.
Yeah.
I guess it would have to be, it has to be inside it so that it doesn't add any kind of resistance. You know, you can't have a camera mounted on the top or something that's going to slow them down even by a fraction. So that's where it's got to be, I guess.
It's a bit uncomfortable every single time.
Yeah. I don't need to see
It's too much penis. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. So anyway, so that's Olympics.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Whoa. Kevin, no.
I mean, yes. It is the 12th of February, and that means Wednesday, of course, is Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudy is what?
Nothing.
Valentine's Day.
I. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And Rudy has some advice for people.
Oh, good.
So people that are already stuck or haven't thought about it yet, mm-hmm. he'll give you some good ideas.
That's wonderful that you still have time to put something nice together for, exactly. for your special person.
We have a K-Rock screening of Black Panther that we're going to give you tickets to today. You're going to have to play a game.
Sounds racist.
Chris Hardwick on the program today. He's quite upset about Instagram and Facebook mm-hmm. And the different algorithms that they seem to be mm-hmm. using.
I think he's right, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it, but I'm happy to talk to him. Great news on the show today. We have I do have highlights of the opening ceremony. And the opening ceremony for the Olympics, I watch every time.
Uh-huh.
And every time I forget how unbelievably dull it is.
It's yeah. long. It's a long evening.
Oh,
a lot of people just waving.
Just walking in and yeah. just taking their time.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn a lot of fun facts about Woo. Countries you'd never heard of, though?
Why, there were countries I hadn't heard of where I was like, how can there be a country that I haven't heard of that has athletes here?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
And there's a lot of countries that only have one athlete,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. That is awesome.
Like, you're Malta. That's it. You're the whole country.
Seems like a lot of pressure.
It awesome. Does. Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do. Psycho Mike got a chance to interview the cast of 1517 to Paris, which was a great movie. I saw that this weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, really good. And a little fellow by the name of Jack White. Jack White. At 7 a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we will take a break and come back with what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
That means it's time for What's Happening, Allie?
Let's take a look at the weekend's box office number, shall we? No shock, coming in number one, 50 Shades Freed, debuted with $38.8 million. Ladies, what are you doing?
I hear it's just nonstop boning. I hear there's like not a plot. It's just nothing but 2 hours of boning.
But isn't that what the last two were?
No, I don't think so. No. I think they were playing a lot of games with each other, mental and otherwise. But this time they're just going for it, is my understanding. I know very little about it.
Bean, you know more than both of us.
Bean saw it.
You totally saw it. A lot of mental games, like that one time when they played, wait, what? Followed by Peter Rabbit, debuted at $25 million. The 1517 to Paris debuted at $12.6 million. And you saw that, Kevin?
I did, yes.
What'd you think?
It was really great.
Really great?
Yeah, it was really, yeah.
I was concerned that the three heroes would be acting, uh-huh. playing themselves. Never acted before.
Mm-hmm.
Not a concern?
Not really, because what happened on the train was such a small amount of time.
Uh-huh.
You can't really make a movie about that. So they went back and sort of took all of those three through their childhood and how they were best friends and how they started touring Europe and stuff like that.
Interesting.
So it wasn't necessarily them even in the whole movie. It was younger versions of them.
Mm-hmm.
Why was the terrorist with the AK-47 on the train? Why did he have his shirt off?
Don't know.
Okay. I've been wondering about
that. Because that's what you do.
Every time I see the trailer, I go, it's weird that he's walking through the train with his shirt off.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Because does the last thing he want you to realize is how buff he is?
That's probably it. Yeah.
Terrorists. You're going to die, but at least you're going to die that. Checking me out,
right? Check this out.
That was Bean's takeaway. all right. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Came in fourth. Fifth, The Greatest Showman. Sixth, Maze Runner, The Death Cure, followed by Winchester, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Den of Thieves, rounding out your top 10. When we get Harvey on the phone, I need some clarification.
Okay.
I need him to stop making me look like a liar.
Uh-oh.
Because all I hear from TMZ, it's on. They're going on tour. The Spice Girls, it's happening. And now Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice, told British Vogue on Saturday, quote, yeah, I'm not going on that tour.
What's happening?
The girls aren't going on tour. It was really, really, really lovely. But this is what I do now. Talking about meeting them, meeting up with them, having that whole interaction. Lovely. But this is what I do now. And
right.
she's pointing towards her fashion. So what is going on, Harvey?
I don't know that I'd blame Harvey. You're the one. Flip-floppy.
I got that story from TMZ.
Yeah.
We need to find out.
All right.
I hear that they're now talking about not a tour, but maybe some individual shows here and there. But that even seems to run counter to what the vibe I get from Posh is that she doesn't want to sing anymore.
I just don't like any of it.
I don't like it at all.
Don't like any of it. Bean, you said you were going to be checking out Celebrity Big Brother.
Yes.
How'd that go?
I watched the first one.
You mm-hmm. did?
I did. I realized it is not for me.
Okay.
What do you want to know?
Well, apparently, Omarosa had to leave the house.
Yes,
she had a serious asthma attack, had to leave, had to go to a hospital. And I didn't know that was something you could do and then come back. I thought once you left, that was it.
Apparently, there is a precedent. I've never seen Big Brother before, but my understanding just from the coverage of Omarosa this week is that there is a precedent in the past of people being able to leave for medical reasons mm-hmm. and coming back. And it okay. always causes a great stir in the house because people are like, well, that's not really fair. The whole point is to be in here and stay in here and be closed off from the outside world.
Right.
These people shouldn't be eligible to still win. And by the way, when you heard it was Omarosa of all the people who had to leave, didn't you think drama queen?
100%.
Like, there's no way there was anything wrong with her. And I didn't see the episode, but apparently she had an asthma attack while bowling.
Well, apparently it was a dizzying situation where they had to, like, run around in a circle and then bowl. You know when you put your head oh, down, yeah. like, on a bat?
That's and always funny.
Yeah, it's yeah. always funny. Sometimes doesn't really go well, and you land on your face. But she got an asthma attack from that.
That's what she says.
Yeah. Yes.
But again, weird. I don't believe a word that comes out of her mouth.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's some sort of strategy of hers.
I did read this, and it made me go, oh, sweet spirit. Meta World Peace admitted that he voted to evict UFC fighter Chuck Liddell by accident because he thought he was voting to save him. And then this was his quote. This house right now is going crazy. Everybody's backstabbing. Everybody's an animal in this house. Everybody. This is not for Meta World Peace. He's too sweet of a man, and I just, I'm concerned for him.
Bean, was there somebody that you think will dominate?
Honestly, Shannon, look, I only saw the first episode.
Right.
So this, what I'm saying now could already sound stupid to people who have watched them all, but Shannon Elizabeth seems like the nicest, smartest, sweetest person who I can't imagine anyone not rooting for.
Right.
But a lot of times people recognize that in any kind of Survivor or any of these situations where they go, that person is such a strong contestant, let's team up and get rid of them so that we have a chance to win. So I don't know. Chuck Liddell said, I guess in his exit interview, that he only went on Big Brother because he's hoping it's a stepping stone to get him on The Amazing Race.
Is that right?
That's what he said, yeah.
Amazing. Oh, well, that's sad that he was evicted. Meta World Peace had no idea.
I feel like Bean needs to bring in highlights of that show.
I feel like it, too.
I mean, I feel like
that's why I watched it, is I thought, oh, maybe there's something for us here. But it was so boring.
But only one episode?
It was so boring. I'll check it out again.
Okay, good.
I'll check it out again and just see if there's anything there.
You're saying the episode was boring, which is basically the greatest hits of that time. Think about the people that are watching for hours and hours that feed.
The live stream, yeah.
What's wrong with those people?
Yeah.
A lot. Okay. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Gucci Mane, singer Mike Posner, actress Christina Ricci, and actor Josh Brolin. And that's what's happening.
By the way, I was thinking about this. Now that they changed the rules at the Olympics and you can skate to music with vocals,
mm-hmm.
like Adam Rippon, the U.S. Figure skater, he skated to Coldplay, for instance, over the weekend. I bet there's going to be a tremendous push now to get your music played at the Olympics. It's kind of a new worldwide audience that you can be exposed to if you play it right. I mean, what I'm saying is I guess people are going to be pitching their music to the athletes.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would think
yeah.
so. Hey, it's Monday morning here on K-Rock. Thank you so much for tuning in. Jack White talks to us just after 7 a.m. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to Harvey Levin on the phone in the newsroom at TMZ.com right now. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
You guys have the Olympic fever over there at TMZ? Everybody talking about it? not so much, huh?
You know, I mean,
I feel like that probably speaks for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I actually tried watching for a couple of nights.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
not for
I watched,
you.
I watched one of the ice skating things, and everybody fell. Nobody made a single landing.
Right, losers.
Okay, I'm done. This must be the junior varsity team.
It's so weird, though, because, look, there's a reason why all the other TV shows go away during the Olympics, because it does huge ratings. Like, all the top-rated shows for the next 2 weeks are going to be Olympics. So clearly there's an audience out there somewhere, but maybe
yeah, no,
just not.
I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's going to be – and I don't want to denigrate it. It's you know, it's an amazing thing. And, I mean, did you see some of the snowboarding?
Yes.
Holy smokes.
Yeah,
I mean,
we were talking about
amazing.
Spicoli, who won that gold medal. Yeah.
It was amazing. That was great. I mean, I like the skiing and I like the snowboarding. The ice skating, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one. Yep.
All right. Well, listen, there's a great storyline unfolding on TMZ. We were fascinated with this last week. Why don't you bring our listeners up to date with what's going on with Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor, two legends, one actor, one comedian, who are no longer with us. And they had apparently quite a relationship. And all these years later, it's causing quite a stir in the family.
Well, it's causing a stir because of the story that came out that Marlon Brando supposedly, I think this wasn't it Quincy Jones?
Yes,
I think it was who said Marlon Brando had slept with Richard Pryor. So everybody's like, what? we talked with Richard's widow, Jennifer Pryor. Mm-hmm. She said it's absolutely true.
She wasn't upset at all. She said, yeah.
She said, no, it's true. Huh. And, you know, this was in the 70s. And, you know, apparently they were both bisexual and it just kind of, you know, they did it. And Miko Brando just came out and he told us he is pissed. And he's saying that it's not true, that how dare anybody make, as he put it, a wrongful comment about either Marlon Brando or Richard Pryor. Problem with it is this, that I don't know why Marlon Brando would tell Miko. Then again, you could understand why Richard Pryor might tell Jennifer. Right. That I mean, you don't go to your kid and say, hey, I banged Marlon Brando.
Sure. Yeah. When I saw that Richard Pryor's daughter was like, there's no way he did that. I would know. No, you wouldn't,
right.
Sweetheart.
Well,
my dad's not telling me who he's banging,
exactly.
Thankfully.
And it's everyone.
Your dad does. It's super creepy.
Yes.
Agreed.
So anyway, that's the situation. I mean, Jennifer Pryor was really clear about it, that mm-hmm. Richard had talked about it. This was in the 70s, so it wasn't Marlon Brando at his ridiculously, handsome period.
Right.
He's still, he was still a good
looking guy. Hey, we ugly people are allowed to have sex too, by
right?
the way, Harvey. Come on.
Did they say anything about having sex with the mailbox?
Did that come up?
That was confirmed.
Did that come up?
Did not come up.
I mean, let's be honest, Harvey. We'd all watch that.
Right?
100%.
What, the mailbox?
Yeah,
yes.
Anything with Marlon Brando, I'd watch.
Yeah, Marlon Brando in the 50s was about the best-looking guy there was. All right, moving
the best
on.
Looking, maybe the best-looking guy in the century.
Yeah.
He's
in the running for sure. All right, let's move on to another story that's a little more current, a little more modern, and that is this ongoing war of words between Nicole Eggert and Scott Baio. Now, they worked together back in the 80s on Charles in Charge, right?
Worked together in Charles in Charge. She says that he molested her when she was 14, 15, and 16, had sex with her when she was 17. He says absolute lie, that she has changed her story a bunch of times, that they had sex once, but only when she was 18. And now she went to the police last week, filed a police report, because he said, if you're really serious about this, don't go on social media, go to the police. So she went. So we got her yesterday, and she said that he has been calling her incessantly and harassing her and saying that she should go to the police, stop going on social media. Now, his people are telling us this is absolutely not true. He has not called her once since these allegations surfaced. But he says his phone, somebody got his number, and he says he has evidence. And it's hard to kind of explain this, but he says he has evidence that I'm trying to think of how this.
It's like someone cloned his number to.
It was essentially
yes,
that.
Because we've had that happen here too.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it looks like Scott Baio's calling because it's coming from his number, but it's not him.
So they could both be telling the truth. Scott Baio hasn't made the calls yet. It appears to Nicole Eggert that Scott Baio was calling her because his number is cloned.
Right.
That makes
right.
a lot
I mean,
of
I
sense.
I think that's the argument.
All right, I want to ask you to put your lawyer hat on for a second, Harvey. When Scott Baio says, hey, why don't you go to the police, he has to know in the back of his mind that there's nothing the police can do because the statute of limitations long ago ran out on any of these alleged crimes, right?
You know, that's the weird thing. The law, honestly, it's just unclear. And there is a law that talks about sexual assault with a minor where you can file charges if it's within 1 year of filing a police report, but then there's contradictory law. So it's really, really unclear exactly what you can do. And I think it's gonna, I think the DA is going to have to make a decision and possibly even roll the dice. But that's going to be an issue not just with Scott Baio, but with a lot of these claims, because some of these claims are 20 and 30 years old.
Yeah, and we're seeing so many stories in the news where it's a he said, she said situation, and it's, you know, years after the fact, and it's going to be very difficult to determine what really happened back then.
Right. I mean,
that's why they roll the dice, Bean. They literally get dice. I mean, all right.
I don't think that's true.
That's how they decide.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay, I'll just...
Harvey's like, why am I here?
Why am I here? Hey, TMZ airs throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. You should watch it, by the way. And TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4. Same channel, Fox Channel 11, TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on the Fox Sports 1. Harvey, we appreciate your time. As always, we'll do it again next time.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
All right, Olympic boy. Bring it home, man. How was that opening ceremony, that 25-hour opening ceremony from South Korea?
I'm not sure. Is it over yet?
Might not be.
Every single time I forget exactly how unbelievably long and boring it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, I don't know, how many countries are there this year? 93 or something like that? And it takes a while for all of them to go in the stadium. And then you've got the whole history of the Earth that they have to do
they
at the beginning of
every... They start with the Big Bang, and then they have to work into the history of Korea.
Yes. Yes, they do.
And it's an impossible task, and you end up with stuff like this.
You know, another difference is that, an east-west difference, in Western cultures, we might look at tigers as something to be afraid of, but in Asian cultures, and in Korea in particular, it is regarded as something that protects you against evil.
In fact, the presence of a white tiger makes powerful people humbled and rich people grow generous.
That's just not true.
If Katie Couric said it, it's true.
I mean, powerful people humble and rich people grow generous just because they see a tiger?
A white tiger.
Odd. Now they talk about the U.S. and when they're going to walk in based on the Korean alphabet.
It's a quick reminder that the United States will be marching in the M's because the Korean name for the U.S. is Miguk, which translates to beautiful country.
Really?
Yeah. Gangnam Style plays. A little bit of that K-pop.
Gangnam Style came back.
It's a very timely song from 5 years ago.
I mean, and they had a long remix version of it, too, because it continued.
First and only Winter Olympic athlete in Malta's history. She competed in Sochi as well. You go, Elise.
I mean, it went on all night, and now all weekend I've had that stupid song in my head. It will not
leave. I mean, it is the most popular song worldwide in the history of South Korea, I guess.
I guess so, but I just felt like, I mean, here it felt like it was a novelty song.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was not a novelty song there. No. They played it through about half of the opening Olympics, which was crazy. Then they start talking about Finland and all the wacky stuff that goes on in Finland.
Those in the know say Finland could be a country to watch in these games.
But if these 102 athletes do not have success here, the Finns have plenty of, let's say, unusual competitions back home. Mm-hmm. You'll find the world championships for swamp soccer, mobile phone throwing, berry picking, air guitar, wife carrying, whatever that is, and other wacky sports, prompting the New York Times to write, Finland has a sports screw loose.
I mean, come on.
Wow. Right.
Wouldn't you watch cell phone throwing?
For sure.
I would tune in for that every time. And then there was the dude from Tonga that was all oiled up. Mm-hmm. And he competed in the last Olympics in Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. And this time he just changed to cross-country skiing.
Sure, like you do.
Which is unbelievably impressive, by the way, to qualify for different sports in different Olympic Games.
Holding the flag.
Mike, I'll handle this
one. Sure you will.
Recognize this guy if you don't picture him. Just as he is without his shirt on, slathered in coconut oil, because that's how he looked when he became the viral star of the Rio opening ceremony, carrying Tonga's flag in all his shining glory. Well, despite freezing temperatures, this guy has decided to do it again. We couldn't have a parade of nations without Pita Tapuapua.
She doesn't know the name. It's not an opening ceremony without Pita Tapuapua.
By the way, when did Katie Couric get so horny? Did you hear how excited she was about that one dude with his shirt off?
One thing that was cool was that South Korea and North Korea marched together just as Korea.
Delegations of the Korean Sport and Olympic Committee and the Olympic Committee of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea marching together as Korea.
That was kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, that's definitely a huge geopolitical story because these nations have been separated since the Korean War for 60 years or something like that. And this is kind of the first thing they've done together in a long time. But at one point, the president of the IOC was giving his little opening remark speech and people were booing the talk of Korea being reunited. So I guess not everybody is down with it.
So we had Gangnam Style and then this happened. And I was like, all right, time for me to get food. So I left and I went and got food and ate and came back. So then I decided to go see a movie. I went and saw a movie and then I came back and turned it back on. And it was... and I caught the end of it, thank God.
They were... generous with the time allotted for that soprano.
And finally, my favorite moment was the guy that just walked onto the stage at the opening ceremony. I mean, he just walked into it. It was awesome. He wasn't supposed to be there. There was no security to take him away.
Yikes.
Not only did that happen once, it happened the same guy ran on to the stage twice and was doing nothing, just standing where he wasn't supposed to be. And the security, it took them forever to get him, and they just sort of walked him off. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
There was an incident during this opening ceremony. An unauthorized individual came down the ramp onto the stage during that emotional singing of the song Arirang.
So there's this old dude singing, and this guy walks right up to him and just sort of looks at his left ear and his right ear and just kind of walks away. It was one of the weirdest things ever.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Did he have a soy bomb scrawled on his chest?
Nothing. Nothing.
And then that same individual was on stage later in the program. It's a sure security miss to have an invader once during the program, let alone what seems to be the same person on two different occasions.
How is it possible that the same guy...
If it was the same guy, that's insane.
It's insane that he made it once. But the second time when he walks out, and he's not running from security like most people do. He's just wandering around looking at people, walking up to singers and sort of just looking
around. What if we find out that that guy is the streaker from the Phoenix Golf Tournament?
He'd be my hero for life. That was awesome. That dude that made it on stage during the opening ceremonies twice is my hero. So
okay.
I put up some video of on my Twitter at the Kevin Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, and it's spectacular because he's not even trying to run. He's not trying to hide, not trying to dance, just trying to figure out what's going on. I'm not even sure he knew where he was.
Why would he have to run or hide when they're just going to let him do it again in a few minutes?
Twice. And what's he listening to on his headphones, too, by the way? It's another
That's
question.
True, too.
Hey, here's what you should be listening to. Jack White on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up right after the top of the hour. Very exciting for all of us Jack White fans because a new tour has been announced, new album coming out, and we'll get into all of that with Mr. White as he returns to the program on the way from K-Rock. First, though, Monday morning, 6:55. Allie, what's happening?
Well, we just talked about it. NBC's broadcast of the Winter Olympics opening ceremonies on Friday night pulled in 27.8 million total viewers. While that seems like a heck of a lot, it is down both from the Winter Games in Sochi in 2014, which had 31.7 million, and Vancouver in 2010, which had 32.6 million. So that's actually that's a pretty good drop, but still huge numbers, obviously.
I don't know how they're counting these viewers because every time there's an Olympics, there are way more platforms to watch them on. Like, is that just people who are watching it on NBC? Does that not include the people who are watching on the app, for instance, or streaming it through the website? I mean, there's so many different ways to get it now.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I do not have that information. I'd like to get back to you on it.
Okay.
If I could.
Fair enough.
Absolutely.
Or not. Either way.
Yeah, either way. Let's just say the numbers were down. But still, Kevin watched and that's all that matters. So in his first public interview in 2 years, former NFL quarterback Johnny Manziel told Good Morning America that he's been battling depression and he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Here's a little bit of his interview from this morning.
I was self-medicating with alcohol. Like, that's what I thought was making me happy and helped me get out of that depression to a point of where I felt like I had some sense of happiness. But at the end of the day, when you wake up the next day after a night like that or after going on a trip like that, and you wake up the next day and that's all gone, and that liquid courage or that liquid, like, sense of euphoria that's over you is all gone, and you're left staring at the ceiling by yourself, and you're back in that depression and back in that hole, that dark hole of sitting in a room by yourself, being super depressed, thinking about all the mistakes you've made in your life. What did that get me? Where did that get me except out of the NFL? Where did that get me? Disgrace?
Yeah, he opened up a lot. He apparently was diagnosed about a year ago, and he said that his early successes played a big part in him being really unwilling to listen to people around him, including his own parents. This is a quote from the interview. I had a sense of entitlement about what I had accomplished at that age. For a while, I got so ingrained caring only about what Johnny wanted, only caring about what mattered to me and what made me happy. When I look back at it now, even when I thought I was doing what I wanted, I was miserable.
Wow.
So, wow. That's a bummer. That's a lot of self-reflection to be able to really figure out why he was acting like that. And, I mean, the relationship with his dad coming out in the news saying, my son's a druggie, he's this, he's that. His dad had written him off.
Yeah.
And to now be diagnosed with that, he's being medicated and things look like they're on the upswing with him. And he says his next goal is just to return to football. And he said, I don't know what kind of comeback it will be, but I know I want to get back out on a football field to do what brought me so much joy in my life.
Well, I'm sure the Dolphins will take him,
right? They'll take anyone.
They got no kind of standards at quarterback.
You guys, stop it. Hey, you want to own a piece of Hollywood history? How about the mini bike from Dumb and Dumber?
Nope.
I need this so much.
I might need that.
It has hit the auction block. The two-wheeler is reportedly in great working condition and includes a signed and notarized letter of authenticity. You just have to pick it up from Houston, Texas. TMZ is reporting the owner is selling it to help out with college expenses for his kid, and 10% of the proceeds will be donated to Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. And as of press time for this, the highest bid, over $22,000.
Wow.
And the auction ends on February 18th. But can't, when you just hear that that's up for auction, you picture them holding on tight to each other, the boogers that are all frozen on his nose.
Sure.
Oh, that is comedy. One of the best comedies of all time. Who's with me? Dumb and Dumber? No?
It's comedy.
Did you guys not love it like I loved it?
I loved it, but was it one of the best comedies of all time?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's top 20.
Okay. Not sure I can do that, but...
No?
No, it was good, though. I like it.
Come on.
I liked it.
When he had his explosions...
Right.
I have never heard my father laugh as hard as he did watching that scene. That's a look into my life. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. No, yes. Nobody really needed that.
No.
When we come back, we're going to talk about something that... won't really interest you on the level when I tell you it's about Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall.
Okay.
But when I tell you they are beefing and they might fight.
All right.
Like in a ring.
Now we're getting somewhere.
I don't think they will. But it's gotten pretty bad. Actually really ugly and kind of sad. We'll talk about that coming up. Rapper Gucci Mane, happy birthday, along with singer Mike Posner, actress Christina Ricci, and actor Josh Brolin. That's what's happening.
Jack White next.
New music from Jack White called Connected by Love. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:07.
It's always big news when Jack White resurfaces, you guys, with a brand new album coming out on March 23rd and a brand new tour beginning April 19th in Detroit. Please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show our pal Jack White. Hey, Jack.
Hello.
So glad to catch up with you. We've missed you.
Thank you. I've missed you too.
I feel like you're working the night shift at your record pressing plant. And you just don't have time for the rest of us anymore. You're just so you're rolling up the sleeves and making that vinyl. And
it's true. It's true. Good. It's a busy world, but I'm lucky to be so busy.
It is crazy that you opened up that plant, and I know we got a lot of stuff to cover. But I was just so fascinated because was this the first new vinyl plant in America in decades?
It was, yeah. It was the first. Well, it wasn't the first new plant. Like, there's plants that have opened that have used old equipment, but it was the first plant that had opened and used all brand new equipment. All the machines were newly made, newly constructed. They weren't old machines from the 50s or 60s that had been refurbished. So that was a bold step and a dangerous step. We were kind of a guinea pig for a second. But it's just amazing to have that. It's part of our thing. It's amazing to be able to, you know, press our own records into everything from it's very DIY to the max.
Well, let's talk about how else you've been spending your time. 4 years between albums is a long time for a guy who's as prolific as you are. Has it just been you work on it, then put it down for a while? Work on it, put it down for a while, or has it just been nonstop for this
whole
time?
Well, I picked up rock climbing and mountain climbing. And when I say that, I have never actually done it.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of photographs of it, and it just looks incredible to me,
right?
The way people can hold on to those rocks and climb higher. Uh-huh. So I'm hoping one day to get...
good.
You know.
All right. True or false, the story we hear is that you almost randomly picked musicians out that you had never worked with before, got in a room with them, just started playing, just to see what would happen.
That's true, yeah. I did that in New York and L.A., and I hadn't recorded really in either of those cities before. Never worked on my own stuff in any of those big towns. So that was first for me, and then it was, to work with a lot of musicians I'd never even met, let alone I'd only seen them in video clips. I was just looking through and asking people. In New York, I asked Q-Tip who's the best drummer in New York, and he said Louis Cato, and so that was good enough for me, and on and on, it went on like that. And it was just like it could have been a big disaster. I was well prepared to show up and, like, after a day say, you know, it's just not working out, man. We tried, but it was wonderful. Everyone was absolutely amazing. Got incredibly lucky.
That's such an amazing story because I in my mind, I think there's so much chemistry involved in making music together. And a lot of times the best stuff comes from a band because they already know each other, or musicians who have played with each other before, and they can anticipate what's happening. But this is the opposite of that, and it sounds like it was just as successful.
It's almost it's good. It's almost, I would say, it's probably better that you don't know each other in a way, because there's this energy in the room where you're trying to feel each other out. You're trying to impress each other. You're trying to speak a similar language and get somewhere new. So it's different than, in, like, say, making music with somebody you've been in a band with for 10 years, because you're very comfortable with those people. So you're less likely to do something dangerous or uncomfortable. Or something new with people you work with a lot. You've got to really push yourself to do something new with people you're comfortable with. So I like that uncomfortableness. It's nice.
Did you show up with songs or skeletons of songs or nothing?
Mm-hmm, I did both. So skeletons of songs and loops. I had done drum beats as loops, and I asked the band to play along with them. I'd give them a chord or a chord change, and they'd play along, and then we'd get somewhere new, and I would go out and write a little bit with them and say, how about we do this? So a lot of just attacking the song from 50 different directions to see if we could get someplace new.
That's so interesting. We're playing Connected by Love, of course, here on K-Rock, which is a great song. I can't urge enough that people go immediately and listen to Corporation, which is one of the strangest songs I've ever heard you involved with, Jack. And to me, it sounds like it came right off of an early 70s Funkadelic album.
Yeah, man, it's wild. There's a lot of different vibes going on in there. There's some real punky kind of lyrics, and there's some gospel kind of backup vocals, and you know, some hip hop drum breaks and funk, and definitely a funk feel, like you were saying. So it's a combination of a lot of ideas. I mean, I didn't write these ideas down. I was like, we're gonna try to combine these things. It just started to happen naturally, and I just got out of the way. You
know? How are you gonna take this and put it on a stage? You've got so many ideas, so many different kinds of music on this new album. You're gonna feel like playing a lot of it. Is it gonna be tough for you to make it work live?
It is. It's the toughest songs I've ever rehearsed. We've been rehearsing them, and it's incredibly difficult. Some things can't be reproduced. We have to sample them, trigger a sample on stage, which I've never done before. So, you know, I mean, that's no big deal. I mean, most bands and artists out there do that nowadays. I've never done that. So I'm getting used to that idea, you know, that some of it's triggered, some of it's going to be absolutely live. It's going to be a mix of electronic drums and acoustic drums on stage. And I just, it's an incredible territory to play around with and get someplace new for myself.
We were just saying, man, the people who are lucky enough to live in cities that Jack White will visit are so happy right now.
Well, Jack, when we got your schedule,
because I know I'll be gone in a couple hours. They're happy because I know I'll be gone in a couple hours.
Well, when we got your schedule, I'm scouring. I'm like, all right, San Francisco, awesome. Santa Barbara, great. San Diego, great. Wait a minute. What?
I don't see a Los Angeles.
I don't see a lot of Los Angeles in that little clump.
There's more to come. There's more to come. It's sort of like, you know, you can't really do it the way, you know, if I had my druthers, I did it 100% the way I wanted to do it, I would definitely, there would be a route I would have been doing for 20 years, you know, but that's the sounds I love. But what, you know, now that the festivals dictate your schedule completely,
sure, yeah.
You have to work around every one of those festivals and book shows in that way. And, you know, sometimes if you're playing a festival in a certain town, you can't play a show. They won't let you play a show. So you have to come back later and do your own.
Ah. That makes sense, yeah. All right, before we let you go, we have Jack White on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And again, no date yet, but Jack will be in California in August, so fingers crossed something opens up. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned the festivals, and we have been noticing, you know, there are more festivals than ever before, and every week we go on K-Rock and we talk about some new festival. So few of them are like Boston Calling, where there's a bunch of rock acts, including you, I think. Most of them are like Coachella, where it's hard to find rock. What's going on, Jack?
Yeah, man. I mean, rock and roll needs an injection of some new young blood to really just knock everybody dead right now. Like, it's brewing and brewing, and it's about to happen. And I think that it's good. It's always good. I think since rock and roll's inception, you know, every 10, 12 years, there's a breath of fresh air and a new injection of, like, some sort of what you could, I guess, call punk attitude or something like that, a wildness. Mm-hmm. Things get crazy, and then they're crazy for a couple of years, and they kind of get subtle, and then you got to wait for the next wave to come through and get people really excited and screaming about it again. And I think we see it at Third Man all the time, you know, like a lot of young rock and roll acts, and I can tell in the last couple of years it's definitely different than it was 5 years ago. So I can tell something's about to explode again.
Well, your lips to God's ears. I hope that's true. We are waiting for it. And we're waiting for your new album, Boarding House Reach, comes out on March 23rd on Third Man Records, you guys. And you can look for the Jack White Tour going all across the country, all across the world, opening up in Detroit on April 19th. Always great to have the opportunity to catch up with you, Mr. White. Thanks for the time today, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you. Bye now.
Our friend Chris Hardwick from the Nerdist Podcast is mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore, and he'll tell us why coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Also, we got Black Panther screening passes for you, and our old friend Rudy Cisneros is going to stop by, you guys.
How about that?
Yes.
Well, it's a very special week with Valentine's Day just a couple of days away. So all of that on the way, but first, time for some great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
I am going to start in Chicago today with a guy named Jamal Cole, who mobilized a group through his charity My Block, My Hood, My City. And basically, he got 120 volunteers together after a huge snowstorm, and they all got together, and they all brought shovels, and then they all went to a neighborhood where there are a bunch of old people living. And these old people are not shoveling their own sidewalks and driveways and stuff like that. And they also didn't ask for help. So this guy brings 120 people with shovels and pretty much clears out the whole neighborhood.
Wow.
Dude. The driveways and the sidewalks and everything else. And they do it, and they don't even ask for anything from the people. So one of the old people guys just came out and he's like, I can't understand what happened. I don't even know what happened. Because
so he's old and senile?
Oh, Bean.
No,
for
there,
the
was
love.
There was a lot of snow there before, Bean.
Oh,
and
I see. I got
all of a sudden,
okay,
the snow was gone.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
I thought that was particularly amazing of this group, is that they went and did it without being asked.
Yeah.
Nobody said, hey, I can't. I'm too old to shovel my driveway. So they went and they did it, and they did it 50 different houses.
Wow.
And cleaned it out. And
see a group of guys going down a street all carrying shovels, and you feel like something bad's going to happen, right? Like it's the purge.
But this one
turned around.
In this case, it turned around, right.
It's fantastic.
And that's my great news.
Excellent. My story is about a little girl named Kaylee Hinton. She's 5 years old, and she needed a date for her school's father-daughter dance. And the reason she needed a date is because her father, Army Sergeant Terrence Hinton, who served in both Afghanistan and Kuwait, died last May in a military truck accident. So her mother reached out, and the person that stepped up was a man from the National Guard and First Sergeant Joseph Bierbrot. He decided that he was going to take her, had never met her, didn't know the family, just felt that it was his duty. So he shows up in his official uniform with pink roses.
And she says, "You're not my dad."
No, she did not. Oh. That did not happen.
Okay. And why are you carrying a shovel? She asked.
My God, you guys are the worst. Showed up and asked if she'd be his date. And of course, she happily accepted. And then she was escorted to her school in a limo with a procession of Veterans Motorcycle Club and members of area police and fire departments.
Wow.
So they did it up for her. It's so beautiful. We'll post the story in a bit, but there's video of her dancing with this man, just like you would with your dad, on his feet, like tiptoe on his feet. So he's dancing and showing her how to do the moves. And it's so beautiful and so lovely that this man stepped up like that. So it's a beautiful thing, you guys, because people are good.
You didn't cry, though. You always cry.
Shut up, Bean. That's my...
Are you thinking about it?
A little bit.
Great news.
Oh.
I mean, you faked me out.
Right.
That's my little bit.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, Kevin.
Okay.
My bad.
Very rarely in this Monday feature that we do on the Kevin and Bean Show is a celebrity involved. But in this case, I really want to give some credit for Drake and what he's been doing around the city of Miami. He is down there filming his new video from his latest EP. The song is called God's Plan. Here's a little of Drake's song.
Turn the 02 into the 03, dog. Without 40 Ollie, there be no me. Imagine if I never met the broskies. God's plan. God's plan.
I love that, Drake. And I'm wondering if, because the song is called God's Plan, is that why? I'm wondering if any of this has to do with promotion, or it spurred the idea of his generosity all around Miami. But listen to this. He filmed part of it at Miami High School and made a $25,000 donation to the school while he was there, and offered to help them design new band uniforms as well.
Wow.
Then he went over to the University of Miami, and while he was there, and it's unclear how he picked the student, but he gave a student there a $50,000 scholarship to a University of Miami student who was at the video shoot for God's Plan at the University of Miami. I don't know if that was involved. I don't think so.
$50,000 scholarship.
And then he shows up at the Sabor Tropical Supermarket in Miami on Tuesday and gets on the megaphone there. And I don't know why they don't have a microphone in the store. Gets on a megaphone and says, "Hey, I'm going to buy all of your groceries." He ended up spending $50,000 on groceries.
Oh, my.
Wow. To people who happened to be in the store at the time. People were tweeting and Instagramming out afterwards. A real king went out and paid for everyone's groceries in the store, and he was all the while encouraging people to buy more.
I was just going to ask, there has to be one or two people there that are like, load it up.
Right?
Right, exactly.
It's free.
Get me another shopping cart. People were just they were just stunned by this. That, I mean, you just never expect to go to the grocery store and have anybody pay for your groceries. Not the least of which is Drake is freaking standing there, right, and saying, "No, buy whatever you want. So it's just one thing right after another. I don't know. I assume they're shooting some of this for the video, wouldn't you think? Like in the grocery store, don't you think we'll end up seeing some of that footage of these people being real happy in the grocery store?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
So anyway, I just think it's really impressive, and all the more so when you consider what a nice guy Drake seems like. And the fact that, I mean, he was a high school basketball star, and then he was shot, remember? And then he was in a wheelchair, and then he had to recover from that to make his way back and learn to walk again. No one watched Degrassi? Not one of you watched freaking Degrassi?
No, but I knew that. I knew you were describing some show we were supposed to get.
This is not a success, and this is not great news.
Lovely, the band on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That song is called Broken. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:37.
I saw earlier this morning, I asked Allie, I was panicked. I said, "Oh, my God. Abraham Lincoln is trending. Did he die?" And then she had to break the bad news to me that it's actually just his birthday. He's fine. Abraham Lincoln, famous Kentuckian, second famous, most Kentuckian in the world on the phone with us right now, our good friend Chris Hardwick, host of The Wall on NBC and all the other good stuff he does, Talking Dead on AMC and so much more. Chris, how are you, sir?
Good. How you guys doing this morning?
Very good. Thanks.
Appreciate
good.
Having you on. It's rare that I see you go off on a tear online like you did last week, but
I'm not sure that Chris is all right. We need to check in with him.
Yeah, partly we wanted to check in with you just to make sure you weren't having an aneurysm or something over these new algorithms.
I know. It's so, listen, and when I first start telling people, like, well, I don't know, I'm kind of annoyed about this thing, they're like, really, first world problem? But when you dig deeper, you find out we're talking about Facebook and Instagram and these algorithm changes, which aren't just affecting people's egos, but legitimately affecting people's livelihoods.
Explain the story for dummies.
Okay, so Facebook and Instagram and all Silicon Valley companies are basically enamored of their own proprietary algorithms. And with Facebook and Instagram, it basically, you know, it tracks all of the user info and it logs all that. It's an AI, essentially. It logs all of this stuff and it basically delivers things to you that it thinks you want. And
so in other words, I'm not getting what people are posting necessarily because of the algorithm. It's what Instagram thinks I might want to see over something that was just posted.
Yeah. So, for instance, if you're following someone or if you have followers, it's not going to show you everything that person posted if it thinks it's not going to be relevant to you. And that was a recent change that happened in Instagram and, you know, something that's been pretty much going on Facebook for a while. And so it's kind of a bummer. So what's happening is the Insta has been removed from Instagram, so you're seeing stuff like a week late in some cases, or not at all.
That's happening all the time for us right now.
Yeah.
I guess it's happening to everybody right now, but the first thing on your feed is from 5 days ago. It just doesn't even make any sense unless it's in order.
So there are, like, people who are missing birthdays, and, you know, it's, like, there's social and ego reasons why it sucks, but the kind of more insidious reason why it stinks is that you know, Facebook and Instagram have essentially absorbed a lot of web traffic, so people don't really go to websites and blogs the way that they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am an independent creator and my livelihood depends on being able to reach my audience, and all of a sudden the algorithm has decided, well, this person, this fan who is following this independent creator, maybe they don't want to see all their posts, so it just, like, hobbles all their posts. So this legitimately is starting to ruin people whose businesses had to migrate to these platforms because they absorbed all the web traffic.
Here's what doesn't make sense to me, though. If I'm following you, clearly I'm interested in what you're posting.
Not according to Instagram.
That's crazy.
Or Facebook. Nope, sorry. And so, you know, I had a brief exchange with this guy named Adam Mosseri, who's head of newsfeed at Facebook. And he was just like, well, what's wrong with giving people what's important, what more important to them? And I was like, but there's a subtle arrogance behind you guys deciding what's important to people. But ultimately, I think and I don't think they're bad people over there. I think they're just, you know, doing their business and trying to do the best they can. However, if you see what happened on Facebook, they kind of lured people away to businesses. Then you probably saw that Mark Zuckerberg made this big announcement that we're going to battle fake news and we're going to get rid of all the, you know, it's all going to be about friends and family now. Mm-hmm. And then basically just, like, hobbled all the organizations who were on Facebook. But here's where I think it kind of gets a little dicey is that now once people are over there, yes, you can reach your fans if you pay to boost your posts.
This is just a way to make money?
Part of it.
Really?
Oh, see, I hadn't heard that. I was trying to give Mark Zuckerberg the benefit of the doubt because he seems to me, maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm a dummy, he seems to me like a guy who's really trying to not let Facebook do bad things. It seems like his intentions were pure in that he realized how much stuff was being promoted in people's feeds that they didn't want. And
yeah,
he's trying
maybe,
to figure out a
maybe,
way to strip
but,
that
but,
back.
You know, my feeling is like, well, then just unfollow the organizations that, you know, like.
Yeah, let the person decide.
Yeah,
right,
let the
right.
person decide. I mean, first of all, you do have the option in Facebook to view posts via their relevancy algorithm or via chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
But you do not have that option in Instagram anymore. I'm hoping that they'll introduce that. But sort of the rumblings of what people are really afraid of is that Instagram has essentially hobbled your reach, even to people that are following you, that could, I don't know if this is true, but the rumor is that it could switch to a you have to pay to boost on
gotcha.
Instagram, which, you know, listen, if you're a massive company, fine. You know, like these are free services. They're optional. If big companies have to pay to use them and they need to make, I don't know how much money Facebook and Instagram needs, but if they need another $100 billion, fine. but this is going to level anyone who's a mid to more entry level indie creator, performer, business person, like anyone whose business relies on reaching their audience, if they can't afford, I mean, it's just whenever they make an algorithm change over there, they collectively are the largest country in the world, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and you pointed that out, that they collectively have almost half the planet as a user base. That's why you're encouraging rules on how they do business, because
they
impact society.
So when you limit people's reach like that, you are legitimately affecting an economy, which is millions of people who are
right.
really being destroyed because they are not able to reach the people that have agreed to want to see their stuff. So
all right,
let me
ask you two things.
I invited them to come on. I invited anyone from Facebook and Instagram to come on the pod. I've talked to them before. They're very nice people, but I'm sure there's stuff I'm not understanding, and I'm sure there's stuff they're not understanding because they're too close to it. But they have yet to respond and have a very civil. If anyone's safe to talk to, it's me. Like, I'm not normally a confrontational person.
Yeah, and that would be a very useful and interesting conversation for all of us, because I think you're absolutely right. I think they don't know what it's like on the other side of their algorithm, and you don't know what it's like from where they're coming from, too.
Well, exactly, because they just say, like, well, just post meaningful things. And it's like, but you don't tell anyone how your algorithm works, so that doesn't mean anything.
Right,
and
right.
Who are they
no
to
one
tell
knows
you?
What that means. What's meaningful to your robot?
Yeah, and who's for them to tell you what's meaningful to you is, it's ridiculous. I mean, and I'm seeing so many more sponsored posts.
Yeah.
I'm like, you
is
know what? I don't want this dress. I don't want this this bra insert. Of course, now I'm concerned about my algorithm.
I got the bra insert, and that's really,
is it
really
good?
Helpful. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's the other thing that's, I think, dangerous for humanity, in a sense, is that, because it was the way that this guy, Adam, said, well, what's wrong with giving, you know, people what's important to them. It's like, because if you only ever give people what is 100% relevant to them 100% of the time, that's dangerous for humanity. If you give a kid everything they want 100% of the time, all the time, they turn into asshats. You know, like, and this is where I think a lot of extremism comes from, and a lot of people not being willing to have conversations or willing to communicate or willing to compromise. If you're,
as they live in their own echo chamber,
the most relevant thing to you, and you always, then you're just gonna get into this bubble where you're always right. Everything you want is always right, and you're never having to really like.
Well, welcome to America in 2018, Chris. You have been very outspoken on this, and I appreciate it, because your level of interest in it really made me start paying attention to what was going on in the news. And I hope that that's the case for a lot of other people, and I hope that they do take you up on your offer to go on and discuss it more. And this can't be this is always evolving, right? There will be
it's
other changes.
And, you know, maybe they will start to see. I mean, I just know that I've seen people reached out to me, like people who said, like, hey, I run social media for a pediatric cancer foundation, and the people who follow us are not seeing our posts.
That's insane. That's just the part
because
that I
can't algorithm
get.
Doesn't think it's relevant. Or another friend of mine posted a picture of it. She's an actress, and she posted a picture of a haircut that she got, and it got like 50,000 likes. It was a great haircut. And she had another post about a charity event that just was hobbled, and like no one saw it, because there are just some things that you see that you don't engage with. You go, this is good information to have, I'm glad I know this, but you don't like it, or you don't, I'm not like it, but you don't hit like,
right,
and you don't
right, right.
comment on it. And so I think the algorithm, you know, they get so enamored of it, but it's not, at the end of the day, it's tracking so much human behavior, but it's not human.
Understood. Is there anything that we and or anyone listening can do?
No.
Okay.
I honestly don't know.
All right. Good chat.
I don't know what the answer is, because people, you know, listen, when the internet first, you know, I got onto America Online in like 1993, 1994.
Uh-huh.
And a couple years after that, people started saying, like, oh, we're in this walled garden of AOL. We need to branch out and go out into the wild west of the internet. And people did that for a while. And then they just came back to Facebook. I mean, by and large, this is what, I mean, you know, obviously Facebook overtook MySpace, which overtook Friendster, which overtook my tribe, but that was at a period of time where it was sort of the dawn of social media. People are so entrenched now that the majority of people are just want to be spoon-fed, and so they're going to stay on Facebook and Instagram. So I think trying to communicate to them in a very human way, not calling them evil or not attacking them, is, you know, having conversations, I think, is the thing to do.
That's not our strong suit.
I do think it's a serious problem.
All right. Chris, we're going to have to leave it there. I think we all agree Hardwick 2020, though, right, guys?
Right.
You're all down with that.
Absolutely.
He gets mad about social media sometimes. He's really got the eye of the people.
He should be our president and also host The Wall on Monday nights.
Exactly. Wow. All right. We'll see you on the TV tonight, Chris. Thanks for jumping on with us, buddy. We appreciate it.
I love you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o, so many more. Movie everybody's been waiting for, Black Panther. You get a chance to see a K-Rock screening ahead of it opening for the rest of the world. We'll give you an opportunity to win that coming up just after 8 a.m. here on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, what's happening on a Monday?
I don't like the Sex and the City ladies fighting so publicly.
I feel like I do.
I don't like them fighting either, but if it means they won't make any more TV shows or movies, I'm okay with it.
Well, that was the whole thing. Kim Cattrall had come out a while ago and said, yeah, I'm not interested. I don't want to do another movie. Stop asking me about it. I'm good. So then Sarah Jessica Parker was like, oh, we're so disappointed. What are we going to do? I guess it's over. We're not going to do one. People kind of dropped it, right?
Right.
Well, I don't know if you remember last week, Kim Cattrall announced the death of her brother. He went missing, so she went to social media. He's missing. If you guys see him, please help. And then he had passed away on his property. So she had posted that announcing his death. And Sarah Jessica Parker wrote on Instagram underneath that post, "Dearest Kim, my love and condolences to you and yours, and Godspeed to your beloved brother." That could have been it, right? Mm-hmm. Just scroll right on
right?
past it.
No.
Oh. So Kim Cattrall then posted this. This is the picture with these words. "I don't need your love or support at this tragic time," at Sarah Jessica Parker. But then underneath it, she wrote, "My mom asked me today, when will that Sarah Jessica Parker, that hypocrite, leave you alone? Your continuous reaching out is a painful reminder of how cruel you really were then and now. Let me make this very clear, if I haven't already. You are not my family. You are not my friend. So I'm writing to tell you one last time to stop exploiting our tragedy in order to restore your nice girl persona."
Holy crap.
And then she copy and pasted a link to a New York Post article that came out a while ago about the mean girl culture that destroyed the set of Sex and the City, which, if you were to read that, all of the anonymous sources are sources close to Kim. So it's quite a one-sided article, but it's that's wow.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war.
Well,
race war's on, everybody.
White
it's
women.
It's going down. It's going down.
Race war. Race.
Come on. Race war.
So much. Yeah, here's the thing. People grieve in very different ways.
Right.
Would that be my choice? No. Do I want to see anyone blasting somebody on social media like that? Absolutely not. Could it have been handled differently on Kim's side? Sure. But again, we don't know what kind of buildup led to her doing that.
It sounds like they weren't on good terms even before the incident with the brother.
I don't think they've been on good terms for a while, but I mean, there's people I don't like that still comment on my posts. You know who you are. Or maybe they don't know who they are, but it's just, it's ugly.
Yeah, that
and
is
And by
ugly.
The way, and Sarah Jessica Parker says that she did reach out privately first, tried to get a hold of Kim Cattrall to express her condolences and was not able to get her on the phone. And that's why she then took the next step to do it on social media. And then, of course, she got blasted for it because people saw Kim's post and thought, oh, she's right. Sarah Jessica Parker's just trying to look like the good girl here.
And here's the thing. If you see her not posting, she'd get blasted for it.
Exactly.
So it was a no-win situation for Sarah Jessica Parker. But these are not teenage girls.
Right.
Let's get it together, ladies.
I feel like life is constantly high school. It never changes.
Right?
Never,
more so than especially with social media.
Yeah.
Gross. Speaking of gross, Idris Elba off the market. Very upsetting.
I'm upset about that, too.
Every lady and some Kevins in the world. Yeah, there was video of him at a screening of his newest movie over the weekend where he went down on one knee and popped the question to his girlfriend, Sabrina. And the Twitterverse exploded. Women were like, please leave me alone during this time. I need my space. But yeah, he's engaged and he's happy. And wow, she's pretty and he's pretty. And there. Wow.
How many? Let's just take a wild guess, mm-hmm. Ellie. How many people would say yes if Idris Elba proposed marriage to them?
All?
I mean millions?
Really?
I would think so.
How many dudes that are straight would?
Yeah.
Right? I'll give it a go. Idris Elba? Sure. I'm in. Ugh, good Lord. A handsome man. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Gucci Mane, singer Mike Posner, actress Christina Ricci, and actor Josh Brolin. That's what's happening.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to call right now, we're going to play a game. We have a K-Rock advanced screening of Black Panther at AMC Burbank tomorrow night. So if you want to win those tickets, call now. 1-800-520-1067.
There have been a lot of great Marvel movies throughout the years, but by all accounts, Black Panther is possibly the best of them. And you're going to get a chance to see it at the K-Rock screening at the AMC Burbank tomorrow night. It opens up everywhere on the 16th of February.
Yep.
Yeah, but you get to see it tomorrow night. If you can win this game called Famous Blacks.
Famous Blacks. Oh, yeah.
Famous Blacks.
It's Famous Blacks. That's right. Everything on this list has black in the name. And they are famous, so it should be easy to guess them. It's Famous Blacks. Oh, yeah.
Famous Blacks.
Don't guess anything without black in the name unless you want to be made fun of. The name of the game is Famous Blacks. There's black in the name. Don't be so dumb as to guess something that doesn't have black in the name.
We got it.
Famous Blacks.
Awesome. Famous Blacks. That was a great intro, first of all. Second of all, did we decide that Mike Catherwood would be coming up with the Famous Blast? Because that concerns me a little
bit. We did, yes.
I was shocked that you wanted to give me that responsibility.
I mean, we have looked over the questions, you know, like you have to.
You are the wrong person to have this awesome responsibility hoisted upon you.
Yeah.
All right, so the answers all have black in the title. That's all they need to know, Mike?
That's it. That's it.
And you get it right, you win tickets for the K-Rock screening of Black Panther tomorrow night. Good luck.
All right, let's start with Luis. Hi there.
Hey.
All right, you ready, Luis?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This famous black is a King Kong-sized movie star, but more importantly, he's one half of the greatest metal duo on Earth.
Jack Black.
Yeah, it is.
Famous Blacks.
Nicely done.
By the way, we're about due for some new Tenacious D, aren't we? Hadn't it been a while?
So. I think so. It's been a long time since that Phoenix Rose. All right, let's go to Valente. Hi.
Kevin and Bean.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. Hola, Valente. You ready? Here we go. This famous black is an internet sensation for all the wrong reasons. Hopefully, this audio clip of her work will kick your brain into gear.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
That's amazingly bad.
That is amazingly bad, yeah. Valente, hi.
What's up?
Answer.
What? Rebecca Black?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow, how many of us thought he was going to get that?
How quickly could he punch in that to Google?
He can't use a phone. There's no way he's coming up with an answer in a trivia game.
All right, let's move on to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Kevin Dean. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Chris.
All right, Chris, here we go. This famous black may even eclipse LeBron James on the list of the most kick-ass things to come out of Akron, Ohio. Patrick and Dan, rip that hard.
Oh, damn. I have no idea.
No.
Patrick and Dan.
Patrick and Dan.
Has black in the name. They're from Ohio.
Not Dan Patrick, but Patrick and Dan.
From Ohio. Well, that's fortunately related.
Mm. Sorry, it's the Black Keys.
The Black Keys.
It's the Black Keys.
Black Keys.
We're done with
Black
you.
Black Keys. By the way, did you see that Patrick, Mike, is having a baby with his girlfriend, Michelle Brand? Just announced this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations, yeah. Sir. All right, let's go to Karen. Hi there.
Hello.
All right, Karen, here we go. It's the card game for people who can't figure out poker, and it is a very, very, very famous black.
Blackjack?
Famous Flex.
All right, that's three pair of tickets. We still have two more to go.
All right, let's go to Myrna. Hi, Myrna.
Hi, guys.
Myrna, are you ready?
I hope so.
It's a creepy Netflix TV show that never fails to make you hate the future. That's why it's become a very famous black.
Black Merit. Black Mirror.
There you go.
Oh, wow. All right.
Famous Flex.
Yay! All right. One pair left. We're playing for tickets for Black Panther tomorrow night.
All right. Let's go to Art in Ontario. Hi there.
Hey. Holla.
Holla indeed. Art gets the tickets.
All right, Art. You ready?
Yeah, sure.
It's the collectively agreed-upon nickname for Metallica's self-titled fifth album and the only name for Jay-Z's eighth studio album. What is it?
Oh, great. Black Sabbath?
It's a terrible guess, but thank you for playing.
Let me see. It's an album, Mike, and it has black in the title?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Black Album?
Kaboom!
How you about got
that? Famous Flex!
Right. I do love that Metallica would have an album called Black Sabbath.
Yeah, or Jay-Z. Yeah.
Or Jay-Z.
Jay-Z for that matter.
That is for sure. All right, let's go to Inez. Hi there.
Hi, guys.
All right, Inez.
I love that Inez has a question from the 1910s. Very excited about that. I'm feeling good about this one.
That's a good point. Take that hint into consideration, Inez. Here we go. This famous black is a super gnarly disease that's officially known as coal worker's pneumoconiosis. With a name like that, it has to be bad for you.
The black lung.
Boom!
Yes! Yes!
How about Inez that? For the win!
With a name like Inez, you're from the turn of the century.
Apparently so. All right, congratulations to all of our winners. Please enjoy Black Panther, you guys, tomorrow night at the AMC Burbank. Don't forget, this awesome movie opens everywhere in theaters on February 16th. This has been Famous Black.
Famous Black.
Oh, yeah. It's that time of year, fool, where we get romantic. Let your lady know you love her. Valentine's Day is a special day to get romantic. Go to a family restaurant. Let your hyena have her own entree instead of sharing it with that puta. Maybe massage her. And if you are in the pen, you can let your cellmate go a little bit deeper.
Oh, Rudy.
Because it is a special day, and that's dope and stuff, and make hearts on your tattoos. And when your hyena starts bitching at you, do like Jesus and turn the other cheek. And maybe when she's done talking, you can have some sex and pretend that she doesn't have a fupa. Valentine's.
That is romantic.
Valentine's.
Beautiful.
Chicken now. Valentine's.
I think that was a big hit on our Bow Radio show, if I remember correctly.
Rudy, that is a beautiful, beautiful song.
I don't remember making that, but, like, it's pretty dope. I might have smoked myself silly, but, like, listening back.
You don't remember 1 second of that.
No, that's true. I don't remember who you guys are. I don't know how I got here.
So, Rudy, this is a very special time in your community and all across the country as we celebrate Valentine's Day, right?
Oh, it's like, you know, like, everyone knows Chicano people are, like, passionate people, you know?
Right.
And, like, so a day that's for just romance?
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be kidding me, dog. It's, like, designed for us, fool, you know? So I know about, like, romance and, like, you know,
treating a lady right, you know,
do
or
you?
Like
because
a,
it sounded
a man
like
right.
In that song, you just wanted her to have her own entree without sharing it with you.
I mean, I, you know, I'm a giver, dog. You know what I'm saying? That's like como se dice, philanthropy, you know? Like,
right. That's
hey,
right.
Hey, get that chicken fried steak or whatever.
Right. You know? Now, Rudy, you and the sad girl have been together for years now. How do you keep it fresh when Valentine's Day comes around? I mean, you guys, you know, you live together. You got the kids. How do you make it special all over again?
Excellent question, Bean. Like, sometimes you got to get... like hella creative, fool. You know, like you can't just expect to keep a woman satisfied by doing the routine. You gotta like okay. Branch out. Uh-huh. You know, oftentimes, like I'll dress up like the people she has a crush on or whatever. You know, I'll be like Ricky Martin one day, mm-hmm. and then like Freddie Prinze Jr. the next day or whoever it is. You know, and then I just wear like you know skinny jeans. I'm like, oh look at me, I'm emo Rudy. And then, like, sure, sometimes, you know, she'll, like, do, like, scenes for my favorite. I'll be like, hey, be that bitch in Scarface. And she's like, oh, Tony, I can't believe it. You know, you don't even treat me right. I'm your sister. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's hot. And so, you know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is, like, role play, you know.
Role play. Okay. All right. And will you get her a gift as well? Is that something that you think about her?
You know, dog, like, times are tight right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, okay. I lost a couple shifts at Jamba Juice. Mm-hmm. And, understood. Like, I, right now, I went to the Build-A-Bear, you right. know, and okay. I made her one, like the bears with the Dodger hat. And,
okay.
Like, you know, I,
very cute.
Yeah,
that's
like
nice.
I did it all up all personal. So I figured, like, you know, even though I can't break the bank this year, you know, like I'll at least give you something that came from my heart. You know, I put it together with my own hands.
That's very creative and very
that
loving.
That's beautiful.
That sounds
really
nice.
Thanks,
I
fool.
Like it.
Thanks, fool.
Now,
all right.
are you willing to take phone calls from our listeners and give them tips?
I'm more than happy to, you know, guide people down the romantic lane. You know, that's what I do. I'm here for them.
So you got a couple of days till Wednesday when Valentine's Day hits.
That's
and,
right.
So call us at 1-800-520-1067 if you have a specific problem. We'll need to know, like, how long you've been together and different mm-hmm. information. Then Rudy will give you some advice.
That's right.
On what you should do for Valentine's Day.
That's right. So, like, it's the best, maybe the best day of the year, you know, except for, like, Dodgers opening day.
Right.
And, like, you know, Morrissey's birthday or something, you know.
Right.
But besides that, you know, it's, like, right up there.
Okay. 1-800-520-1067. You need a little help for the holiday of love this year. Rudy Cisneros is standing by to take your calls next on K-Rock.
Valentine's. Valentine's chicken now Valentine's
sure. Advice from Rudy, right?
Right.
Valentine's.
Rudy Cisneros is here taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. The holiday is just a couple of days away. How can he help? He's the most romantic man in the world, don't you know? Let's start with line three. Get down to El Monte. This could be good for you, Rudy. El Monte, right?
Hey, what's up? What's
Emmanuel
up? Emmanuel
on the phone.
Emmanuel, hi.
Hi.
El Monte.
Yeah.
Recognize, dog.
So I got tickets for this really cool, that I think is a really cool event for my date and I. Then I ran it by her thinking she'd be really excited, but she doesn't really want to go. I think she thinks it's going to be like too crowded or something. But I kind of want to take her anyways because I already bought the ticket. So
I hear you, dog. Like, you probably dropped like gum. Crazy dollars trying to do something special, but look at it like this. Your lady did you the best gift ever. Instead of doing like that thing where she stays silent and it's like, oh, I don't really want to go, but I'm gonna clam up, and then you get that weird passive aggressive thing on the way home where she's like, damn, I spent my whole Valentine's Day doing something I didn't even want to do just because this vato bought something. And like, you know, she actually was honest. So what you do is like pretend like you're going to that event, right? Like you just get like play it off like, oh yeah, you ready, and then you actually drive somewhere else. You sacrifice the money you spent on them tickets to go like take her to the park or something and do something that is definitely not crowded, you know, where you're all alone. And then she'll be like melting in your palm, and that's when you just delicately unzip and just give her that look, dog.
Okay.
Just give her that look and be like, you're right, I did make sacrifices. And relationships are all about compromise.
All right. Good luck, Emmanuel.
I think that sounds like remarkably responsible advice from Rudy Cisneros.
I told you about my love, dog. Ali needs to, like, she's having a wardrobe malfunction downstairs, you know, because Rudy's kicking so much knowledge about romance, right?
Yeah, you can see
expecting.
That.
No, I sense
he
it.
Senses it, yeah.
Okay.
I'm like,
right.
When it comes to love, I'm like a German shepherd. You know what? It's like instinctively.
Right.
Let's go to line two. This is going to be Whittier, Rudy. We've got Matthew on the line. He's finding himself in a tight spot this week as well.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey, how's it going? Okay,
good.
So my wife told me what she wanted me to get her, but I wasn't listening and I forgot, so I had to ask again. But by the time I found out the second time, it was already too late to order it online, so I have nothing for her.
Okay, dog, like, this is an easy one to solve. You get one of your homeboys that you really trust, but not a friend that she knows, okay? Like, it has to be totally off, like a friend from work or something that you keep in the pocket, but she's like, I don't know that fool. All right? And then you just come in. You come in today on the phone with that guy, and you're like, Yelly, hey, I trusted you to deliver it on the day that I said you would deliver it. I don't care that Valentine's Day is a tough day to deliver things because of your heavy traffic and business. You made a promise to me, and I'm a paying customer. Ah! And then, like, you get all mad like that.
All right,
and you let it just, like, go and print up a receipt online of something. You know, you already bought it to pretend like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. You know, I even paid the extra money to make sure it would be delivered by today because I know how much it's meant to you. But as you can hear, they screwed it up when they didn't have a way to keep their business in check. And you'll be golden, dog.
So lie to your wife on Valentine's Day. That's the message here. Right?
Lie to your wife all day.
Okay.
Every day.
Right. Very good, sir. Thank you for the call, Matthew. Appreciate that. Let's go to line 7, please. This is Redondo Beach's Lindsay up next on the Kevin and Bean Show with Rudy Cisneros. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey guys. What's up? First of all, Los Raiders.
Órale. I knew I liked you.
Órale. Okay. So, Rudy, you give the best advice.
That's
and
right.
A shout out to my boyfriend, Andy. I want to know how you open up the conversation about visiting the S-hole country.
First off, you're a delicate little flower, aren't you?
I saw your latest post.
I know what you're saying. Like, clearly you follow me on Instagram, at @Kulobreaker. Everyone,
every day,
you know.
All day.
Really keeps you, you know, like, keeps dropping knowledge all day. But, like, this is what you need to do, Haina. Like, it's an age-old question about how to play around back door. It's the LBE system.
I'm sorry?
And you have to adhere to the LBE system that Rudy helped cultivate at a time when I was in the pen I don't like to talk about. All right, you ready? LBE.
Okay.
Lube.
Ears open.
Lube.
Okay, that's L.
Booze.
B.
Enema.
Oh!
Covers all bases, I'm not, to make sure there's no problems. And that's the best way to go about making sure that you have a good time and everybody leaves a winner.
It's more detail than I was hoping for, Rudy. But good luck, Lindsay. Happy Valentine's Day. Do we have time for one more? I think
sure.
We do.
Yeah.
Who do you like here, Kevin? Who do you want to talk to?
Let's go to line 4 and say good morning to Tanner. Hi, Tanner.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're on with Rudy.
What's up,
Tanner? Hey, I am 19, and I've been married for a little bit over a year, and I cannot figure out what to do this Valentine's Day with my wife.
Hey, listen, Doc. You sound like a nice young man. I'm going to give you some advice right now that I never tell anybody. I always kept it close to the vest. You know, one time I told my oldest son, but he was blazed, doesn't remember. Listen, Tanner. You're 19 years old. You're a young man. You probably don't have a lot of extra feria lying around, not a lot of extra money. But you want to do something nice. So go get yourself 2 Budweiser tall boys. Okay? That's like $5 out the door with tax and everything. And you go back to the pad and you go into the bubble bath and you shake up them tall boys. Like really shake them. And then you let it go in the bath. It's better than any type of that potpourri or bubble bath that smells like cotton candy or whatever the hyena's like. And you just fill it up with hot water. Then you, okay.
Is the Bud Light?
No, Bud Light. What are you, a communist for? Oh, get straight Budweiser, dog. And then, like, put her in the bath, the bubble bath, the Budweiser bubble bath. And then you get behind her and you massage her. All right, Tanner, you're 19, so you probably know good music. Heat Wave. Always and forever.
Right.
You just get right behind her.
But all the
kids, you know, I know
love.
All the kids are bumping the new wave stuff. So, like, I'm going to go straight Heat Wave, get it in her ear. You massage her and then, listen, it's too full because it'll, like, help her unwind because it's a bubble bath. But also that Budweiser through Como City, the osmosis is going in her body. She's getting a little, like, loosened up. And you get it right behind her. You say, always and forever. Moment with you. And, like, you know, it's right into her, like, telephone cord, crispy, crunchy hair, right into her ear like that. Get real close. And you say, baby, It's moments like these that I really appreciate you. And her 19-year-old brain will blow up, dog. And then you'll be blasting it all night long. Bang, 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 bang.
Sound good, Tanner?
That sounds like the perfect Valentine's Day to me.
All right. Mission accomplished. Thanks, Rudy.
Valentine's. Valentine's. Chicken now, now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. I think we might be in trouble, you guys.
Why?
Is Rudy still here? I think Rudy needs to hear this as well.
Rudy,
yeah,
you here?
Back in.
What's up,
Doc?
All right.
Rudy, you were giving advice to young Tanner with the Budweiser bubble bath for Valentine's Day with his bride. And apparently Tanner's dad is on the phone right now.
Damn.
Mike is not happy with you. Hey, Mike.
Rudy.
Mm.
What is up with that?
You gave
all this advice to a 19-year-old. Your first question to him is, if you're 19 and newly married, why are you not working?
No, wow. Like...
That sounds like more like a dad issue than it is a Rudy issue. Rudy's in it for love.
You're his dad, not Rudy.
And I didn't even think about it. Maybe he was independently wealthy, or he was some type
that
of
would be a,
tech
that would
billionaire.
Be a dream come true.
Mike, why is your...
A couple of tall boys...
I mean,
yes. Yeah. Well, he's 19,
he's
dog.
19.
He's been drinking for like 11 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I look at it.
He can't even buy them.
Hey,
that's
Mike,
what you think.
Out of curiosity, why is your 19-year-old son married for a year?
For a year.
That's pretty amazing. That's a weird thing to get into, because he actually loved this girl, and I'm glad they got married, and she's a great girl.
But they'll be divorced by the time he's 25, though, right? You know that.
I don't think so. No, I don't think that. I don't know that in the least bit. I don't believe that in the least bit.
All right, so
if I did, I would have told him, don't get married.
So you're happy or not happy with Rudy's advice?
I am not happy
not
at
happy.
All.
Okay.
I wish he would have said, hey, why don't you go to church or something? Go do something else.
Again, Rudy
hey,
is not his dad. No,
go drink some Coke.
I'm going to level with you, dog.
Okay.
I want to do this the hard way, but we might have to.
Okay, I'm ready.
Now, you got to ask yourself the question. Why is my 19-year-old son turning to some vato that he doesn't even know on the radio? Instead of giving his father a call on the phone to be like, yo, pop, how do I treat my lady? Because I look up to you and I respect your opinion. Nah, dog. He was sitting by the radio. He's like, let me get this vato's opinion. I trust him more than maybe anybody else. He's my father figure. He's my voice from above. And, like, that's the thing you should be focusing on right now a little bit instead of calling up to chastise me, fool.
I promise as soon as I get to West Hollywood where he's working, the first thing I'm going to walk in and say, why are you calling that guy for advice? You could have called me.
And that's the real man-to-man conversation you got to have. I like you, Mike. You sound like a good man. And I'm sorry if I steered your son in the wrong direction as far as you're concerned, but all I know is that the Budweiser bubble bath is a guaranteed good time, fool.
And when it comes down to it, your advice you said earlier was always lie to your wife. Right on.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, all right. The man who wants to go to church is always lying to his wife. I like that.
Thanks,
Mike.
Very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Wow.
I mean, that's what they call a mic drop.
Exactly.
All right, Rudy. Wow. I think you handled the dad just as well as you handled the son.
Oh, nice thanks, job. Man. Like, I'm trying to get everybody on the right positive wavelength.
Right. You're doing a good job, too.
Go, Dad.
8:57.
You know what, Rudy? Howie. Don't leave just yet.
Oh, okay.
Because
you want to make out?
Well, no. I've got some Valentine's Day advice, according to clothingdictionary.com. And I want to see your thoughts on this.
Clothingdictionary.com. Mm-hmm.
And this is lingerie buying guide for men.
Oh,
number one, do your research. Do not try to guess her size ever.
That's right. And if you are, mm-hmm. just go with zero. Because
so
there ain't no
the
lady who's going to be like, oh, I can't believe you thought I was a size zero.
Okay.
There's not, that doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll just be like, oh, I'm so dumb. This looked like it would fit you at the store because you're so svelte and in such great shape.
That's great advice.
That makes so
you
much sense.
You do not want to overshoot. That's
the
worst
why
thing.
The girl, a lady says, hey, what? How old do you think I am? You say zygote. Because there's no losing there.
It also says if you're very brave, you can be discreet about it. Grab a pair of her panties, bring them to the store with you so the sales clerk can help on sizing or gift ideas.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Make sure they're clean, though. Well, sure. Don't want any embarrassment for your lady.
You really don't. Right. And then always avoid buying anything marked as control or reducing. It's okay for them to buy Spanx for themselves, but you're in a whole lot of hurt if you buy something that says, like, tummy control.
That's right. You know, like, I understand the temptation, especially if your lady's got, like, a floppy panza that goes over her dickies or, like, something like that. Yep. But, you know, you can't do that. If anything, buy, like, the expanders. Be like, you know what, honey? I thought you could actually use a little more meat because, you know, you're so ripped or whatever. So you get her the ones that make it look like the Nicki Minaj expanders.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Allie, I want to ask you this. Yeah. Rudy, please weigh in if you care to as well. I have also heard that in general, lingerie is a terrible gift for Valentine's Day because it is most certainly a gift for the man more than it is a gift for the woman in her mind.
It tends to be. Yeah. If he's got, you know, he's buying something like he knows what colors you like, what kind of look you like, that's something. But it usually tends to be, hey, look, I saw this porn star wearing this. You'd look hot in it. That tends to be what happens.
Nah, like, and most, if you're a real man like me, let me tell you something. There's only one outfit that you want your hyena to be wearing on Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh. You said it wrong.
You know what that is?
What?
The birthday suit.
Okay.
And if not that, maybe like a Dodgers vintage jersey. Like real baggy over some Dickies with like shell toe Nike Cortez.
Right.
And like your eyebrows drawn on all night. And your hair like, so it looked like, listen, your hair like that. You knock on it because it's so crispy, crunchy. Yeah. And it's all tight like little telephone cords.
All right.
Rudy like needs a moment.
Darker color lipstick against your fair skin. I'm just imagining right now.
We're let you go.
Blood flow.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Gucci Mane, Mike Posner, Christina Ricci, and Josh Brolin. That's what's happening.
K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, you guys, destination number one. We usually have a fancy announcer tell you this part, but we're going to do it right now. It's 30 Seconds to Mars and Walk the Moon. They are coming to town, as you know, at the Forum on July 19th. We got tickets for you for that, and you qualify to see them in New York at Madison Square Garden on June 20th, including round trip, airfare, and hotel. So win tickets to the local show, chance to see them in New York as well. Call now 1-800-520-1067. Do we have a specific caller we need to ask for?
20.
Number 20. Good luck right now from K-Rock.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
By the way, I just want to mention, because we had Jack White on the show a little bit ago, Muse is coming in on Wednesday morning, you guys.
How about that?
Nice.
They got some new music coming out as well. So, big week for K-Rock music and K-Rock bands and K-Rock artists and K-Rock interviews on the Kevin and Bean Show all this week. All right, it is 9:39, Monday morning. Allie, what's happening?
Speaking of K-Rock music, not sure if you guys saw this. Very funny. A guy on Twitter named Duncan Robb, he is from Chesterfield, England, wound up tweeting that he thought he found a real bargain when he bought Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets for only £30, which is about $41.
Right.
And he's like, this is awesome. This is wonderful. Can't wait. Was going to fly to Belfast to go and see them. And he soon realized, and by soon, only a couple weeks before the show, did he realize those weren't Red Hot Chili Pepper tickets. Those were the Chili Pipers.
Oh.
That, yeah.
Probably not the same.
Probably not the same at all. It's okay. It's a bagpipe cover band. And they're awesome. I will say this.
Sure.
He bought these for Christmas and would have flown to Belfast and had the shock of his life had his girlfriend not said, you know what? Let me check and see who's the supporting act for them. Looked it up. She's like, the Chili Peppers are not playing in Belfast that weekend. And then looked at the tickets that had been posted up on a board at their house for 2 months. And there it said, Red Hot Chili Pipers, right at the top. So she's saying to her boyfriend, like, dude, what is wrong with you? So check your tickets.
That's awesome.
And if you think you're getting two Red Hot Chili Pepper tickets for essentially $41, you're not.
Yeah, if it's too good to be true.
Usually is.
It is, right.
Usually is. But they went. And I have to say, kudos you. Wouldn't you go anyway just for the story?
I would.
That is fantastic.
You say that, Kevin.
I would.
But how long could you stand at a bagpipe concert?
Oh, honestly. I didn't say I'd stay.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'd go, and, you know, you'd wait out, like, half a song.
Tops.
Right?
All right.
And then go get a pint.
Ah, I get it. Not sure if you saw this news over the weekend. So sad. Actor and comedian and a friend of the show, Rob Delaney, he wound up sharing some news on Facebook that his 2.5-year-old son had passed away after a year-long battle with brain cancer. Apparently, Henry had been diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2016, shortly after his first birthday. And he had surgery. They removed the tumor for their treatment. All seemed fine. But then the cancer returned last autumn. And he posted about it. And apparently, Henry passed away in January. Just heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking.
So, so sad. And he's such a good guy and such a good dad. Living in England, and he gave kudos to everybody over there that helped them out, and it's just a tough time for him and his wife and their other kids. So, very, very sad stuff. And this morning on Good Morning America, former quarterback from the NFL, Johnny Manziel, who I think a lot of people have written off completely.
He was a complete bust.
A bust, then he became this total party boy, then there was some domestic violence with his girlfriend at the time. You haven't really heard much about Johnny Manziel. Well, he did his first public interview in over 2 years, like I said, with Good Morning America this morning, where he says he has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
I was self-medicating with alcohol. Like, that's what I thought was making me happy and helped me get out of that depression to a point of where I felt like I had some sensitiveness. But at the end of the day, when you wake up the next day after a night like that or after going on a trip like that, and you wake up the next day and that's all gone, and that liquid courage or that liquid, like, sense of euphoria that's over you is all gone, and you're left staring at the ceiling by yourself, and you're back in that depression and back in that hole, that dark hole of sitting in a room by yourself, being super depressed, thinking about all the mistakes you've made in your life. What did that get me? Where did that get me except out of the NFL? Where did that get me? Disgrace?
Yeah, and he wound up saying that he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder about a year ago and said that some of his early success played a part in him being really unwilling to listen to anyone around him. He had gotten so much at such an early age
that
he just didn't want to hear from anybody. So people that were saying, you know, cool it with the drinking, he knew better.
If he's got bipolar disorder, then we can't make fun of him for just being a big drunk loser anymore. Now we have to be all sympathetic and whatnot?
I think it's probably best when someone is being completely honest with
about their mental health.
Yeah, I think so.
Now that we know it's a mental health thing, I guess we allow it. All right.
And I think if people really looked into a lot of addiction, and they're covering up for something. There's a lot of trauma that you're trying to drink away or do drugs so you don't feel that hurt or that pain anymore. And I think maybe take a look at that before we start judging everybody. And that's one to grow on. I got real preachy there for a second, Breaking Bad actor Aaron Paul and his wife Lauren have welcomed a baby girl into their family. They announced the birth on Instagram. And I don't know what it is. Just seeing a dude holding their newborn baby, never hotter. Aaron Paul is an attractive guy. I get it. He's a great actor. He's wonderful. Him holding his newborn baby, just staring at it with just these eyeballs of love, never hotter. What is it? Kevin? Anyone?
The drumbeat in your uterus is what it is?
I'm just saying.
I can't answer that.
Ugh. But him and his wife couldn't be cuter little humans, so congratulations to them.
And he's never hotter. I know that.
Never hotter, right? Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, rapper Gucci Mane, singer Mike Posner, actress Christina Ricci, and actor Josh Brolin. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Help. Tomorrow morning on the new Kevin and Bean Show, curling is dumb.
Nope.
Curling is not dumb.
It
curling
is wonderful.
Worth it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people around the world enjoy playing and watching.
That's what I meant. We have the Bachelor Report with Petros Papadakis, and comedian Eddie Ift joins us as well.